Welcome to Her Bro, His Sis, a podcast hosted by sibling ministers, discussing topics of faith and family.
Well, hello to all of our saints, our brethren in the Lord. We are just so overjoyed, just off wax. We are just in love with one another and just getting it in. And so we come to you just full of heart, not only just to share with you, but just our hearts are just full of joy today. And so we're just anxious to just share this last leg of the parable of the sower. So yeah. We're on session four of four. And so we are just plowing along. This is just no pun intended. we are just plowing along with this particular parable, and we hope that you've been blessed over the last couple of months. But we're gonna cap it off this one, and if you've been rocking with us, we will get to something else on the next month. But we are definitely on the finale of this parable. So what do you got for us today?
So we are at the land of good and plenty. Mm-hmm. This is what we're gonna just tie it all together. I feel like every one that we've done prior has kind of retouched the previous one, or you know, readdressed the other ones, and so this one is just going to bring us home, and I'm really excited about it. So, like before, we're just going to jump right on in because I just have so much to share. I know you're so ready to share. So I'm just so excited. And I'm grateful that we've been able to walk through this just methodically and taking our time through it, because it really deserved to have the time that was devoted to it. So I'm really just thankful for that. So today we're starting in Matthew 13, verse 23. And that says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And to add to that, Luke 8:15 says, "But as for the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good and noble heart and hold on to it tightly and bear fruit with patience." So I love that version of how it says it, because to me that encapsulates the hear, receive, obey. They heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. So what this brings me to the mind of is that there is an innumerable amount of life potential in one single seed. And if you think about the seed being the word of God, which is what we talked about this whole entire time, like the seed is life, you know, it's the word of God. It's the very essence of God. It's God breathed. And the seed to offspring ratio is not 1-to-1. It's 1-to-nth, because God determines that increase. So if you think about it, one seed doesn't necessarily mean an equal 1-to-1 offspring of what you're going to produce. And so like it first said, 100, 60, and 30-fold, God is the one that's going to determine your increase. And I always love that idea too, that it specifies 30, 60, 100, because, you know, some people get discouraged with a 30-fold increase. They always want to pray and declare the 100, which is fine. You're not wrong for declaring that abundance. But at the end of the day, if you only get 30 or 60, it's still increase, and God still gave you that. So just with that little kind of introduction, what are your thoughts about the seed of the good ground and just that those couple of passages?
Yeah, I like how you brought out that Luke 1, because it does kind of give a little bit more perspective. Yeah, without just kind of going too far, I just like the words that the passages use. You know, going off the 13, it says he bears fruit and yields. And then you have, you know, whatever, 130 or 60. And like you said, you know, are you increasing? So, you know, the goal is that you bear fruit. No one's saying you have to bear X amount of fruit, but are you increasing? And so I just love how it talks about that. We bear fruit based on the seed that was planted within us. Mm-hmm. Just as a barometer, are you bearing fruit?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one thing I really, I'm going to touch a little bit, but what I want to do is walk through this multiplication sense by going through 2 Peter chapter 1, which I know we went there, mm-hmm. but it ties so well with this topic today that I want us to go back there today. But that part where it says bringing forth fruit with patience, that right there just struck me, because it could have just said bring forth fruit, period. Mm-hmm. But it said bring forth fruit with patience. And mm-hmm. it's not just the patience of having to wait for the fruit to be born. That's like the patience that comes because of some of the things that we've covered in the previous sessions about things that happen in this world. So your seed will get cut off or will not produce fruit because of the worries of this world, the cares of this life, trials and tribulations that you go through. You allow those things to hinder you. That's what we talked about with the thorns last time that we spoke, was how those thorns can impede your process. And so this understanding that with patience, that's a necessary component for our fruit to actually be born. And it's not just a waiting period. It's the actual patience that comes with the trial, the fire, the affliction, or whatever else comes with that. Romans 5:3 talks about that. James 1:3 talks about how the trials of our faith produce patience. Trials produce patience for us. And so I think that's an important thing that we have to look at when we're looking at that bearing the fruit. Is there anything that strikes you with that line of it mentioning patience with that hearing the word and bearing fruit?
The only word that comes to my mind is steadfastness. And I think we did talk about it in a few different instances when we, you know, covered James and different things, but there is a stillness that you have to have in your faith journey, right? Because you're going to encounter things. And I like how you said that it's not necessarily about the cares of this life. That's another set, but you know, in Christ, you're going to have tribulation, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, be of good cheer, I will overcome the world. You know, we're going to have situations in which that's going to require us to exercise faith and patience and be in prayer and, you know, pursuing the Lord at a degree that, you know, causes us to travail or whatever the case is. And so there's going to be times where we encounter hardship. And I like how we're tying this to, you know, we kind of started off when we did, you know, episode 1, a farmer, you know, and so because you have this agricultural illustration, nobody plants a seed and then tomorrow it's like a microwave. Oh man, I have a garden. You know what I mean? Like, so in the garden of life, like it's no different. You can't plant a seed, water it, and be like, okay, I've survived. Like I, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about, you know, school of hard knocks and those type of things, you know, and urban subsets and things like that. But the same kind of, I guess, rules apply in the sense that, like, you know, you got to be battle tested, you know, and yes. I think that's has a lot to do with why we're pruned in some respects, is because it yields a patience that allows you to bear fruit, as opposed to being like, you know, the other soils, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. where you're getting choked out and you're struggling because you don't have that patience. So mm-hmm. I appreciate kind of the parallels, because and I think obviously, you know, Jesus knew what he was doing, you know what I mean, but I appreciate that, because when you think about it from something that they would have understood, and even for us naturally that we understand gardening, it's like we have to be patient. We don't just cut the whole garden down because something happened, or we could say, oh man, yeah. a storm came through and it cut half of the stalks down. Okay, well, you start over, like you understand that's par for the course, and you keep moving. You don't say, well, I'm not gonna be a gardener anymore because it rains. I mean, like, and so that's where that patience comes in, as you understand that things don't necessarily change because you decided to throw seed down. Like mm-hmm. everything is still part of that scenario. Like it's still going to rain. It's still going to, you know, you're going to have tornadoes. You're going to have storms. Come but on how here. Do you now navigate because you made a change in some other facets? So because you chose to do something, now how do you navigate these other things? It's not like, well, God, please stop the rain because I'm a gardener now. Like, you know, like it doesn't work that way. And so I love how you talk about patience, because it does. And I know 2 Peter, we're going to go all the way in with that in that respect. But yeah, I think a lot of times us as believers and us as downtrodden believers, we expect things to be different for us because we're doing something differently. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't, we don't understand the patience that is being, for lack of a better word, produced mm-hmm. by us going through those situations. So I think it's a great illustration if we're willing to really just sit down and say, like, okay, I might be at a 30 situation right now. I'm not at 100, but does that mean that like now we start to struggle because we're not where we always were. And so that's something that we really have to get to understand is what it looks like to endure through hardship.
And that you've said so much in that, and I'm not going to be able to touch it all, but you were touching exactly what's stirring in me about the fact that just because the seed is planted in what is considered good soil doesn't mean that we're exempted from the conditions of the elements around. So when you're talking about those weather situations, tornadoes are going to come, storms are going to come, rains are going to come, things like that. And if you even think about that agricultural situation, from the beginning of time, people would pray to their gods that weren't the Lord. And even the people of God would pray to God for rain, because they understood that as agricultural individuals, they needed rain for their crops to live and to thrive and to grow and to feed them and to provide and all those things. So, you know, we as finicky and fickle people want to control the amount of rain. So we want rain when we want it, but then when it's too much, we're like, okay, we don't want this. We have to understand that God is the one that who controls all of it. And even when I kept looking at that whole thought of the life potential in one seed, it's also in the soil, right? Because if you're thinking about, we're comparing the seed, which is the word of God, and that's amazing life potential. But then the condition of all these soils that we've talked about that we're paralleling to the spiritual condition of ourselves that the seed is being planted in, that in itself is, it's like, what is conducive for the seed to prosper and thrive? And all the other things that we've talked about before are not conducive for the seeds to thrive, which is why they did not. And this is the one we're talking about, so that even when these conditions happen, the person who got the same seed as the three prior in all the other soil conditions, they can experience the same exact worries, cares of this life, whatever else we talked about on all the three previous episodes. But the one that's got the good soil has an environment that's conducive for that seed to prosper and still have some type of growth, still have some type of blessing. And so, like you're saying, we can't consider 1% is not a blessing. It's still more than zero, right? 10% is still more than zero. So we can't sit here and gauge what God deems like what you're capable of handling right now. You want to be up here. And God's like, you're not ready for up here. You're ready for this. And I'm not going to give you more than you're ready for. But he knows that. And so it's just so much that you were saying, but that's the thoughts that were stirring in me as you were talking about.
I don't want to make an episode 5 of this, but I want to ask you a question.
I feel like you do, though. I mean, I really feel like you do. I think that you are enjoying what we've done. You really don't mind.
I mean, I love illustration. So this whole season, I think, is just going to be amazing because I love, and we're both wordsmiths and we have that creative mind. So I love the fact that we're dealing with parables because it already kind of has that built-in illustration that it's just hard to like, it's hard to walk away from.
Yes.
But, and then when we add our little, you know, interpretation, then it's like, okay, I got to ask because you said something. So, so we're talking about good soil. Right. Yes. And, you know, the different percentages of increase and all of that. You mentioned, you know, about, you know, there not being any exemption to, you know, the rains and all of these things that happen. You know, we rains on the just and unjust, like we get all of that. Right. But can we talk about what, because I live in an area where I have hard pan soil. Right. So I'm not going to say that I have bad soil per se. I do in my ground. But in my heart, I don't. So I'm going to ask this question in reference to a believer. So what would you say in the sense of somebody who has hard pan soil in their heart? So they're a believer, you know, so we understand, obviously, there was some good soil that was sown. It was sown on. But now we're dealing with this hard pan. The nature and the things that we've heard over the course of our, you know, ministry separately is, you know, people kind of get stuck with hard pan soil. Again, we're talking about believers that it was founded on good soil initially, right? So let's hang there for those who are listening. What do you do when you find that you have hard pan soil? Because you can really take that two ways, right? So I'm going to let you answer as opposed to giving you the two ways. But what would you say to somebody that finds that their soil is not conducive to growth at the moment?
So this is amazing that you just asked this question, because this really happened in real life. So I'm not trying to give an illustration just because I want to give an illustration, but sure. I feel like it helps answer the question because it really did happen very recently in real life.
Okay.
So, you know, I've referenced the plant children I have here since we started this. And sometimes plant moms, plant dads, they understand that you have to add more soil to your actual plants or swap the soil out and repot them and do all that kind of stuff. So I had some plants here.
You didn't already answer my question. Go ahead. Keep going.
But that's the ultimate thing. But yes, so I have the plants here. And so they needed some soil, right? And I had been buying a particular soil since I've had them. And at this particular time, because for us on the East Coast, you know, they don't keep certain things in stores available all the time. So I had to kind of like wait until the season was closer to get the kind that I'm used to getting. So I saw some and I just took the first thing I saw and I'm like, I don't really think this is going to work. But like, I couldn't see it because it was in the bag. But I was like, this is soil and they need it. So I'm just going to take it and make it work. Right. Make it work. So I put it in here. And it was exactly what you were talking about. It was that hard pan soil. And I'm like looking at it, I'm like, this isn't going to work. And actually, I actually had to mix it. So like I still had some of the other stuff on the bottom and then that stuff on the top. And it just like, it was not no bueno. So at the end of the day, I think I let it stay in there for a week. And then I went to another store and then they started putting that spring stuff out. And then my actual soil came in. I swapped that soil out so quick because I did water it with that stuff, but it was like my plants were not happy. They just were not happy. So at the end of the day, you have to be a person that can see what's not working, what's not going to get through that particular soil. And then you have to make a decision, because I could have said it's not working, but I don't care and leave it there. And then they're just not going to grow. And then ultimately they die. Or I could just be like, I have to get this out of here, and which I did. And I dug up all that stuff that I had put in there and none of that was left. And then I put the fresh, good stuff on top of it. And then we went back forth and resumed our lives. So that is what I am recommending to anybody that finds themselves. If you were in that place at one point in time, you know what it takes to be there. And you don't have to take it. You don't have to stay that way. We can swap it out. We can get new soil. And in real gardeners, anybody who's a gardener, they know if they have an outside garden, an indoor garden, they know about having to get soil or having to do new mulches or whatever they do. And you know about adding fresh stuff and do what you need to do. Don't be ashamed. When it's time to swap it out, get new stuff, do what you have to do. But that is my response, if that answers your question, sir.
Yes. And I wrote so much down that I think a lot of it's probably going to be a good segue to where you're going.
Yes, sir.
So I'll keep it brief. The key takeaway was, and I'll just pose it in a question so I don't kind of anticipate where you're going. Is the new soil for the condition that you're in? Because again, we're talking about the foundation was already good soil. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, now you're encountering situations in which you're not growing as much as you want to, or you're not growing at all because you've encountered that hard pan, whatever the case is. So are you putting in different nutrients or whatever the case is?
Yes.
Because you need to basically kind of break up that soil that was there or swap it out or whatever you need to do to kind of get yourself to, okay, now this is good soil. Because, and we can go all the way there, but we are a life being that's being sanctified, right? Mm-hmm. So just as we talked about, you're not a garden that has already arrived because a seed was planted. You know what I'm saying? Just because you see one bud don't mean all of a sudden like, okay, this is
that's
the best
garden ever.
You're conducive to produce more buds, but it don't mean you've arrived because you see one flower.
Yes.
So with that being said, is that because you're constantly going to be groomed, there is a gardener, i.e. the Lord, that is going to continually say, okay, I'm going to till this ground. I'm going to do some things. And we can go to John 15, right? That there's going to be some things that need to happen in order for you to continue to produce the way that you now see this initial flower. You know what I'm saying? Because we can look at your entire garden and say, okay, like when it comes to pride, like that situation over there, like there's some hard pan over there. Like, we're going to have to throw some of this soil over here that's working so that that over there grows. Or this is now a new season where, like, some things have happened. So now you have some situations in which the soil is not as conducive as it used to be. So now we're going to have to add some product. Like, you know, I got this beard going on now. Like, I'm going to have to get all kinds of oils and all that because it don't grow like this did. This was fine. But this is a whole nother coarseness that I got to work that out. And it's a daily effort. But I'm not going to just cut it off because I don't want to do the work. It's like, am I going to do the work to have it look the way it needs to look? Or am I just going to say, well, it is what it is. So in the soil of our heart, I think that's where we're at, is understanding what that means when we find that. Or are we just saying, well, I guess I wasn't good soil to begin with. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do when you get there? And that might determine, were you soil good soil?
Yes.
You
know what I'm saying? Yes.
So I think that, thank you for saying that, because that was a beautiful analogy.
The only other thing I want to say, no, that's so good, because you just keep saying something else that's so good, but exactly what you said, you are leading into where I want to go. But I do want to just say, from what you said, you just gave me that thought, like, hair on your head, but hair on your face have to be tended to differently. So if you think about all the different types of seed, like God speaks seed, the word of God cover, it encompasses so many things in our life, right? And he says that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the word, which we're going to get into. But if you think about the fruit of the spirit and all those different things that it mentions, it says one, like, single fruit, but it's different things, right? Branches of the same fruit. And so if you need help in patience, if you need help in love, if you need help in joy, if you need help in whatever, each one of those have to be tended to in an attentive and distinctive manner. So just because, like you were mentioning pride, you might have focused on that, but then you also have to make sure, just like a gardener, like, or a farmer that has multiple different types of crops on their field, like, you just don't have corn. Sometimes you have corn, you have this, you have that, you have this and that. So you have to tend to each and every individual produce the way that it needs to be tended so that it can grow the way that it needs to grow, if that makes sense. So that's going to lead us into 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to just read through this and then we'll walk through what we need to walk through. So from verse 2 through 10 is what I want us to look at. And that starts off by saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, sown by seed, which we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So if we go right back to the beginning of this passage that says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, okay, we're looking at good and plenty. We're looking at seed sown in good ground, and we're looking at multiplication here. So Paul often would start his letters by saying, grace and peace unto you from the Lord our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, right? So that's how he would greet his people in his letters oftentimes. Why is it important for us to need grace and peace to be multiplied to us, though, right? Peter is now saying this. Paul often referenced it. But he's saying that grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God. It's going to be sown through seed, which is what we just said. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So grace and peace will be multiplied by you knowing more of the word of God, hearing it, the word of God. And one verse that I want to add to that part is what Paul actually said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He said, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So even in this sense, he's saying what you learned it through the knowledge of God. What you heard, received, and have seen me do, do that, obey it. Hear, receive, obey again, and the God of peace will be with you. And we know that God's peace surpasses all understanding. It's going to help us in the trying times. That follows right after Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, when it talks about keeping our minds on the things that are lovely, of good report, and all these things. It talks about right after when we're not supposed to be anxious and worrying about all these things, and how the peace of God carries us through all that, which again was one of the thorns we referenced in last episode, right? So this is just how peace can be multiplied in your life, because the more you know about the word, the more you know about the Lord. He whose mind is stayed on the Lord, God keeps us in perfect peace, right? That's Isaiah reference. So God does so much to empower us, to keep us in his peace, and his grace is sufficient for everything that we need. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he said that he besought the Lord three times to take a thorn from him. And even that was a thorn, right? That he specifically was addressing the Lord to deliver him from. And he says that my grace is all that you need. It's sufficient for you. So then Paul said, okay, I'm at peace with what you said, Lord. So I will rather take joy in my infirmities. This is bearing fruit with patience. So now he's going to be fruitful in his infirmities, in his afflictions, and his weaknesses, because in his weakness, God's strength is made perfect. And God is able to rise and shine when we can allow our need and reliance on him to be brought to the forefront. So just in that introductory passage, before we go to the rest, what do you have? Because I can tell you have some things like turning over there.
I'm just receiving, to be honest with you, but I love the breakdown because you know, I'm like you, I love and pay attention to the salutations, and this one's no different. And I think how you brought it out was just so profound, because you talked about grace and how you paralleled that with 2 Corinthians. I think it was just beautiful, because you know, you're hearing a story in which this man was grieved by his situation, and he said, my grace is sufficient, meaning that if that's sufficient and that's all you need, he's saying that be multiplied to you. And then I loved how you said, because of that sufficiency, he was able to be at peace with that. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So if you have everything you need in Christ, you should be able to take those two things, and then him now praying a prayer of blessing to say, I want that to be multiplied to you. If it's already enough, and he's saying, I want that to be exponentially more than enough, like, I want you to know that that's already enough. And I'm asking for the Lord to basically infuse you with what's already enough. So, yeah, before even getting to what is enough and what it is that is the fallout from that, just the way that you broke that down, I thought was amazing. So thank you for that context.
Amen. So then the next verse 3 says, God's divine power has given us all. So first of all, I just want that to be like, he's referring to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, the children of God. So this pertains to us. Like, we get to hang our hat on this and say, God's divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him. So again, we need to know more of the word of God, which again comes by hearing the word of God. So we have to understand God is so powerful. And this is just a reminder to us that whatever your situation is, God is more powerful than that. So we face it and we're scared. We see the giant and we're scared. We see a situation, or we hear a situation, and we're like, Lord, I can't, I don't know, but I trust you, should be the following thing. And so again, when you know your God, when you know what he's capable of, when you know that his righteous are never forsaken and his seed never beg for bread, when you know that he has the ability to do all things, to heal, to comfort, to provide, to sustain, to give you energy when you can't muster up energy for yourself. God is the one that can do all these things, but we have to know more of it. And I think that, you know, even when you kind of go back to that verse that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, that in itself can even be into play here, because we destroy ourselves because of the lack of what we allow ourselves not to know in the Word of God, what we allow ourselves to not follow to know more of. And because we don't know it, we can't declare it. And because we don't know it, we don't allow ourselves to have that belief in it. And so when you know, can be lauded for the amount of faith that can please God, or the amount of faith that impresses the Lord, which we know that when Jesus was on the earth, he was commending certain individuals for their faith that exceeded the faith of his very own people, because he said, like, I haven't seen the faith like this in all of Israel, you know, because this person believed me and this person believed that I could do X, Y, and Z, but my own people don't believe I can do this. So that is something that we can gain spiritual power. Like, we're not going to gain a physical power, because physical power means nothing in this world. And so we can't trust the chariots. We can't trust in the arm of another man or another woman or whoever we think on the earth can help you in any way. All of our trust and reliance has to be on the Lord. And if he chooses to use an individual to be partner with him to bless you or to assist you, that's his choice. But it's not like we looked unto that man or that woman or that person or that thing to be our deliverer or our savior. Comments about that verse?
Not much. I mean, I know we're getting into the meat of it, which is where I want to land. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's a walk down of you know, you started with saying us, which is important to know that it's everybody. So he says us and all a lot in this passage, and to know that nobody is exempt from receiving from the Lord. So if you're in a spot in Christ where you feel like, man, I'm not where I want to be, or I'm not there. I even had a conversation yesterday with somebody that asked me that very same question. I mean, very hungry individual. And just wanted more of the things of the Lord. And he said, like, what would you say to somebody who wanted to seek God? And I said, from a motivational standpoint, or just as encouragement, like a how to, like, what are you saying? And he said, motivationally speaking. And I said, well, I would do two things. One is find other people that you can connect with, because it creates an accountability. You know, and I mentioned, you know, kind of like doing a devotion with somebody. It's like, if you guys are doing that devotion and they're on it and you're slacking, like, you're going to feel that. Right. And so it kind of has that built in encouragement and that accountability of, like, man, I got to get on it. And they're encouraging me and we're encouraging one another. And then I said, secondly is, you know, for me personally is, like, you have to see the end goal. And so, you know, this passage gives us, like, what you're going to be when you do this. Right. And so if you don't want to be unbarren or unfruitful, do these things, right? And so, you know, for me, it's like, and especially for somebody who has a high sense of perfection and, like, wanting to, like, a high performer, I look at the end goal as, like, man, I don't want to fail. And so knowing that, like, I have to be able to look at me seeking God as, like, if I don't do this, I'm not going to have this. if this happens, like, and then I can even look at it from the other end. It's like, man, if I'm not receiving from the Lord, it's because I'm not giving to him. So, okay, it makes sense. So now I got to go do my part. So it's one of those things where it's like, you have to know what you want, and is your heart conducive to want to strive for those things? And so, again, just going back to my initial point, is that it's for you. It's not just, you know, for her, bro, his, sis. It's not just for the elite. You know, there's no, God's no respecter of persons. And so if you draw near to him and you're desirous of him and you're doing these things, you're going to receive. Just know that it is for the masses if you apply yourself to these things.
Mm-hmm. So I love, you know, even though this wasn't part of the passage that we wrote, but Peter, at the close of this section, he said, and this was part of your reminders and revelations, what, season one or two?
Well, it was one, yeah. He says,
for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So he's saying that, and his last statement was, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So this is our reminder after his decease, these words that he's written for us. And so all these things to remind you of what you already know, remind you of something that has already been spoken or deposited within you. And so even though we're talking about it now, we've talked about it before, we'll talk about it again. And you need to hear it again, because we go through things that wear on your faith. We go through things that try to make you no longer believe, you know. That's why the whole Galatians, we're not well doing, because in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And so sometimes we don't reap because we fainted before our reaping was going to be there. And so we need each other. And I mean, even when you talk about the Hebrews things that encourage each other while it's yet today, right? And so we need to stir each other up by encouraging in the word of God and that kind of thing. And so verse four, whereby we are given unto us, again, all of us, us, the family of God, exceeding great and precious promises. Which, how do you know those promises if you don't know the word of God? That's all I really wanted to plug out of that verse, was that God has given us, you who are listening, watching, given you exceeding great and precious promises, and that through those promises, you will be partakers, or might be partakers, of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So we need the word of God in order for us to access those great and precious promises, because without his word, you don't know what they are.
That's deep that you say that right there. If I could just that's such a great plug to help people understand. Like, if you're not reading the word, your faith is probably going to be compromised. Like, can we just go there? Because
yeah, sure.
Because the fact that again, I don't know how many times, you know, you and I have read this particular passage because it's one of our favorites. But again, like, for those who have been rocking with us, like, you've probably heard things over and over. And I love how you plugged that Peter piece about, you know, we're going to stir you up, because we have said some things. And some people might be like, man, y'all said that already. But it's like, well, they repeated themselves, you know? And why do you think they repeated themselves? Because sometimes we forget. And sometimes y'all ain't doing it. So I'm going to say it again. You know what I'm
saying? For the same exact reasons.
Yeah. And not that we attach names to that statement per se, but it's like, we're prone to forget. Like, that's our nature. And whether we forget intentionally or we forget just by way of negligence, like, well, life is hard, so I'm going to kind of just fall into what I'm naturally used to doing. Having this regular pattern of, like, telling you something is like, okay, wait, like, that's why they keep saying that. And at some point, hopefully it sticks. But specifically today, I love that you brought all this together, because, like, when you say stuff, like, even for me, like, I've heard this passage tons of times, is one of my favorites, but every time you hear it, again, going back to Hebrews 4:12, like, it's alive and active. Yes. The fact that you can say something today and how it sticks today, based on the context of how we're saying it, we're not changing the context of the passage, but the context of what we're discussing makes this just so much more profound today than it would have the last time I heard it, because of what we're talking about today. And I know I need to be reading the word, right? Like, that's paramount to faith, right? We need to read the word. But how you're bringing it out about, like, God has given you great and precious promises. Read. And so then it now brings me to, like, this simple illustration of, like, how would my kids know that I promised them something? Because they heard me say, I promise you this. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to know unless that came from somewhere. And so if you don't know what is given to you, when you fall short in a situation, do you even know if God has a promise for that? And you already said at the beginning, he's given us all things. So there is a promise in every situation that you face, because this passage is indicating that. Now, are you willing to do the work to find it? Or are you going to just kind of stay in the state of where you're at because you don't know where to find it? And I think that kind of goes back to the question I asked you earlier about, you know, the soil that's on hardpan. It's like, you're in good soil, but you're probably comfortable staying at 30-fold because you don't want to do the hard work in that season. Or that particular part of the field. It's like, I got 50 acres. Like, let me just hang out with this 25. I don't need to do work on the other 25. It's like, well, The Lord wants you to do work on the other 25.
Exactly.
That means you need to do work on the other 25. And you're going to be tested in that other 25. And when you're finding yourself not growing, it's because the other 25 is going to start overtaking you because you're not applying yourself to that. And if you're paying attention to this 25, but not the other 25, at some point that 25 is going to have weeds. And now when you have half of your garden with weeds and half that looks good, everybody's going to see the weeds. Like, I can have a clean shirt on with one stain, and the stain is the only thing people are going to see. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be willing to say, like, okay, there is a spot of me that needs to be purged and given to the Lord, and am I willing to sanctify that? And that is the whole point of progressive sanctification is we have not arrived. You have a garden, but you ain't arrived. So you got to keep growing. You got to keep building. You got to keep doing these things to get yourself to the place where God wants you to be in him. So
that is so good.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm leaving that. Okay, so verse 5 says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So two things I just want to hit on that one is be diligent to add to your faith virtue and knowledge. So he's saying that faith by itself is not, you know, it's not enough. You know, we have to add to that. So, and at the end of it, he says, add knowledge. So we began with knowledge. And then he's saying, continue to add more knowledge. So it's not like what you're saying, you know, I have 25 acres. I'm good with the 25 I have. No, we need more. And no matter how long you and I just right here have been in the Lord and the Word and what we know, the limited that we know, we still are hungry to know. There's never enough. And I think that's the heart that we want people to develop. And that's the hunger. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Right. So like, if you're hungry for more knowledge, you'll get more and you'll continue to get more until the Lord comes back for us. And I think even just on an academic level, like outside of that, anything that you desire to know more about, or even a hobby level or whatever, entertainment level, if you are interested in something, you want to know more about that thing you're interested in. So academics was our thing, and we loved, like, we couldn't get enough of learning, right? And so if you're into sports, some people, that's their thing. You can't know enough about sports. If you're into cars, if you're into a certain, you know, other hobby, you can't know enough about that. And so this is the same thing when it comes to God. Like, you have an initial amount of knowledge, but the little bit that you have is not going to carry you to the kingdom. And so we have to understand that we're required, because he's saying, give all diligence to add to your faith, because we're all given a measure of faith, but add to that measure virtue and knowledge. So before I continue that, do you want to say anything about that one?
Yeah. I'm going to try to not make this a part two, but there's so much here. and I know we had went through this passage before, but just to bring it to this agricultural context of what we're talking about in the soil, like, it just, there's just so much that I think is just so great. So I'm loving it. But just on this passage alone, you said, give all diligence to add to your faith. I just want to define what faith is at this particular point in the passage, because there's going to be a progression. Faith by itself, and you mentioned that earlier, like, that's just a knowledge of, like, who God is. Like, so understanding that who God is, and I'm blowing myself away from what I'm about to say, because I'm ministering to myself as I'm saying this. Like, the faith of, like, you acknowledging Christ as your personal savior. Right. So, you know, you know the gospel, like, that's faith just by itself. So it says add to that. So even just faith by itself, like, what is that to you? Like, if you said, I don't need to add anything else, I'm going to heaven, like, I'm just here. Like, what does that translate to? Mm-hmm. If you just leave it there, you're actually the other three soils. If you think about it, because all you did was hear the word. You added nothing else. You know what I'm saying? You didn't water it. You didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you, it was a planted seed and you were stuck there. So just that by itself, you ain't good soil.
Wow.
If you don't add to your faith. And I wasn't planning on saying that, but I think it's apropos to say at this particular point in time, because the passage actually tells us that if we get all the way down to verse 10, right? So just saying that alone, we have to add to our faith. What I like about this situation at this particular moment in time is that, are we willing to add to our faith? And understanding that if God is who he is, you can't help but add to your faith. Because if God is the God of all, and you acknowledge him, and you know, in our circles, we say, okay, like you say this in his prayer, he's your Lord and Savior. Like, that's two pieces, which means he's your master. And so he didn't just give you salvation, he's your Lord. Yeah. So if you say he's my Lord and Savior, then him being your Lord means you have to add to your faith, because he's only your Savior if you have faith. You know what I'm saying? If he's your Lord, that other 25 acres is coming in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's where we're at with this whole conversation, okay, is that at some point you have to realize that if you don't add to your faith, you will be overtaken by what was there before, which is the three episodes we have practiced, which if you have not heard, go back to that, because you're going to fall in one of those categories by understanding that by not adding, you're going to be overtaken by the weeds and the cares of this life, because you didn't add to now start to look like what your garden's supposed to look like. Like, if I don't put Tide on my shirt, I'm saying, like, I'm dirty. You're going to look at me as sloppy, because I'm not going to do what I need to do to fix the stain. And so That's where we're at with adding, which the first thing you said is virtue, like goodness, righteousness. Like, the first thing you need to do is, once you realize that who God is, like, you got to change yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff got to change. And how do you understand what that is? It goes back to what you just said in verse 4, is knowledge. So by knowing the word, it allows you to be righteous, because now you're going to then look and then realize. So as we get into these, you're going to see the progression of why it's in the order that it's in, because the first thing is, okay, you're saved. Now we want you to be righteous. You want to be righteous? How do you become righteous? Get knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, so there's going to be a pattern and a progressive pattern of why it's in the order that it is. And are you willing to do those things? And I would say, barometer is, find out where you're stuck in this process. Because if you're stuck on righteousness, maybe you're at the faith spot where you're like, dang, I need to get over to good soil, because I'm not even like cultivating my faith. I heard the word. It sounds good, but I'm not even at the point of obedience right now. Like, so maybe you're stopped there. Maybe you have obedience, but you don't know enough. And maybe you're in the knowledge piece. So like, you're going to see the pattern of where this is going. And I would say, man, just lock into this particular episode, because I'm teaching myself as I'm, because this ain't on the notes. I'm just going to be 100 with you. This ain't on the notes. And so as we're going through, like, this is even for me to see a scale of like, man, like, where am I stuck at? And maybe I need to go back an attribute and see how to add to that, because I'm stuck here. So I'm going to shut up. But there's a lot I think we're going to get into that this is going to be really full. And I'm loving it.
I honestly kind of don't even know how to move forward right now, because you just jacked me all the way up. You really did. I jacked myself. I mean, I'm just like, wow, I'm trying to get myself together right now, and it's kind of rough here, but
no, you're doing well. You're doing well.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus, and thank you just for the way the Holy Spirit just takes over and does what he does. So so we talked about the knowledge, and then again, you know, like you were just saying, I mean, the next two verses just talk about we have to add more layers to those things. So we're adding to our knowledge, temperance, we're adding to that patience. And so I already kind of hit that patience earlier, just not just the fact that you mind waiting, you know, time periods. It's also about the experiencing of the trials, and those temperance and patience kind of go together, because that's, you know, a twofold situation there. But going through the trials is what's really going to strengthen you. And I think that's when our faith is really proven to God. I mean, he said it numerous times through different people in the word, that's when faith is really, truly founded and shown and proved to God, because it's not in the easy times that you get to really prove to God that he's your Lord and master, right? It's when you're in need of something, when you're going through things, that you now have an opportunity to continue to give God glory in those hard times. And so I think we can't say it enough, because to be honest with you, like, the Bible has said, like, you know, it's going to be a lot of tribulation to get to the kingdom of God. He said it's going to be through much tribulation. He guaranteed us that we're going to have trials. So we need, you know, even like when we referenced earlier about how the importance of encouraging each other while it's today and all that kind of stuff, that's another reason why, because even though we're strong believers in the faith, you know, you and I go through a lot of heavy stuff, hard stuff on a regular basis, but it doesn't dim our faith. It doesn't dim the light of God in us. And I think that's something that people have to make a conscious faith decision and understand that when you're saying yes to God, it's not just salvation from hell, like, you know, you're my savior, but that Lord part of, you know, you're truly the Lord of my life and you're the Lord of my finances. You're the Lord of my bank account when it's on E. You're the Lord of my refrigerator when it's on E. You're the Lord of my job when things are going haywire there. You're the Lord of situations when there's enemies acting up around me for no reason. People that don't like me, people that are persecuting me, people that are doing things that aren't fair. He's the Lord of everything, like you said. And so those things are paramount to when we read these words. It's not just like we're reading a list of like, oh yeah, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, whatever. No, it's a lot deeper in reality. And when you look at your life and the things that, like you say, we get stuck on, is it because you're stuck because so-and-so at work or so-and-so in your family has done something that you just can't get over, and it's keeping you stuck in a place of unforgiveness, resentment, hard-heartedness, whatever the case is? You now have feelings about yourself because you can't get over things that were said to you, or, you know, you believe words that are spoken to you from a person as opposed to what the Lord has declared about you. So there's certain things that like this encompasses beyond just words and ink on a page, right? So I think it's fair to say that we just have to examine our circumstances as we are navigating the Word of God when we're reading it, because like you said, every time we read it, it will look different depending upon where we are in our life when we read something. And obviously we're reading this in a context of what we're doing this for. But if we were doing this on a personal individual study and we weren't doing this for other people to hear, how would this translate to what's going on in my life? And what would I say honestly to myself, or if I'm journaling as I'm writing, what would I say in prayer to God about the things I'm reading that actually this applies to? And that's the thing that makes Bible study and the knowledge of God more real and relevant, because when you can put your life into the pages of what you're reading and the lines of what you're reading, it makes sense. And now we can see how to apply those things and where God has an expectation of us to apply this verse of boom, this is where I wanted you to activate that. This is why I said you heard the word and kept it, and now you can bring forth fruit in patience. And so even though I'm not going to deliver you from this yet, my grace is sufficient to keep you in that, and I will deliver you at some point later. So I can say that as in a recent example, I was talking to someone about some things I had prayed to God about, like similar to Paul's situation with a work situation that was not pleasant for a very long period of time. And I'm talking more than 2 years long period of time at work, praying to God, but still like, okay, you're keeping me here. You're sustaining me every day. Every single day I wake up, you're giving me the energy and the strength to still be your light and not be ugly and not be resentful and not be X, Y, and Z because people are treating me this kind of way. And so his response was continued. His grace was sufficient until the deliverance day came. And deliverance wasn't you're out of this and like you're just getting a new job, but he changed the situation and he still was able to do his own thing. So I bore fruit with patience by A, actually waiting, but then B, having the patience that was produced and having to still be godly, right? Because this is talking about adding to your patience godliness, because you have to still be godly while you're waiting. And that's part of that. Don't weary in well doing, because in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Because if we get tired of doing what God would do, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? He said, turn the other cheek. He said, love your enemy. He said, pray for them. I'm tired of praying for them, Lord. I hate them. They make me sick, you know? Then I'm not going to reap now because I got tired and I got weary in my well doing. So this is how we apply the scriptures to our life instead of just reading it and it's just like, okay, that sounds good. But no, I literally did that. And this is how I didn't weary in well doing. Because I didn't get tired of doing the godliness. I didn't get tired of, you know, having to pray about this and having to pray about that. Now, do you always like it? No. But do you do it? Yes. Because doing it, obedience is better than sacrifice. And we obey because we're supposed to. And our hearts are conditioned to obey. Like that's a thing that when we condition ourselves to obey God, we're just going to obey God even when it hurts, even when it doesn't feel good, even when it's not fun. So do you have a comment on that before we move into the next portion?
Just one comment.
Yes.
Is in this actually, I said this to my son the other day. Not that he was doing this, but just was an example about someone else's actions. And I said, you bleed what you feed. So you were talking about, you know, just like how we respond and being able to have patience. And I said that in those impulsive moments, you will give off what you've already deposited in yourself. So this whole thing we've been talking about, the word, right? If the word is not the first thing that comes out in those impulsive situations, is because you didn't feed yourself with the word, because you're only going to bleed what you feed. And so, and I always go back to the most basic example of stubbing your toe. And so that was the example I gave myself. When you stub your toe, you will never hear me say the F word because I don't curse. And if I did, even if I was great at hiding it impulsively, that would have been what you would have heard.
Yes.
Because that's, you're always who you are in impulsive situations.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same as you're talking about trials, like you are who you are in trials. And that's the beauty of testing, is that you're tested based on, like, you could be in class and hear the teacher talking and doing all of that. But then when you take the test, you're by yourself and you fail because you didn't apply or actually take in what was the instruction, right? And so the same thing in our faith is that when you're tested, you are who you became in the instruction phase. So for us, you know, understanding that is that if you're not who you want to become and you were getting there, which is why I'll stop, but you talked about godliness at the end, like everything leading up to that allowed you to be godly in that situation because you had understood patience well. And when you understand patience, it allows you to then be godly because you understand the progression again of how you get to now acting this way because of what you've already endured. Like you can be godly because you're patient, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so people try to be godly and then understand that, but they're not patient. And it's like, well, if you're not going to exercise patience, like you're not going to respond in a godly fashion. So it's understanding what you need to do. And then when you're making those mistakes, like, what do I need to do? Do I need to go back to recognizing the fruit of the Spirit and, you know, doing that and hanging out there and meditating there? So we know that the word is for us and we know that the word is transformative. And 2 Timothy, one of our favorite jams as well, is that that is one that you could just every day in the morning, like, okay, Lord, let your word penetrate in me. Let your word saturate so that I act it out in my daily activities. And so even if you just need to hang out there and it's okay, Lord, I need to be peaceful today. Like, we're not asking you to read 3,000 chapters.
Right.
If you need to just stay on three words because that's where you're at. Like, Lord, help me to be peaceful. That's it. That's all you need to focus on this week, today. Then just focus on being peaceful because you know that's your struggle. And see what the Lord does as you're meditating on that. And then let him bring you to passages of like, okay, how do I exercise peace? How do I live in peace? You know, all those things. And so it's not like we're telling you, read 2 Peter and then read the next chapter after that. Like, we're not saying that it's, you know what you need and you know that it's here. And if you're, are you going to be willing to walk towards that and apply it and do the hard work? Or are you saying, well, I was reading Genesis, but I knew that I was struggling with this. Okay. Well, get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, find where you need to be at so that you can let that word be deposited in you. Don't get off the chronological if you need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't say, oh, that'll come in 6 months. Like, no, get on that today because that's where you're at. And let's see what the Lord does through those situations.
Go to 7, verse 7, it talks about adding to godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And I just really want to say charity, just in a nutshell, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so everything that is in between these lines and everything that you have just eloquently said and all of the comments that you added, the only way we're going to obey God is to know God in his word. And the more we remind ourselves of what he has said, and as we go through situations, that's another reason why we need to be reminded, because we're going through things every day. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is an open book resource for us, like, to, as we're going through something, let me look and see, I just need you to talk to me right now about the situation. I just need to hear from you so that you can bring me down from 10. You know, this is what it's here for. And so if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And so that charity encompasses a whole lot of things. But at the end of the day, for me, I feel like that's a perfect way to end that part by saying, at the end of the day, loving God is not just saying, I love you, Lord, because a lot of people are going to say they love the Lord, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. He said, if you love me, then you're going to obey my commandments. And how do we know what they are? Again, through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his word. So if we go down to verse 8, which we're now going to skip to 8, it says, for if all of these things that we just mentioned before be in you and abound, they, all of those things, will make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. So again, he's saying that Jesus is our Lord. So he's even acknowledging that he's your Lord. And he said, if these things are in you and abounding, those things will make sure that you're not barren or unfruitful. So it is your responsibility, like you said, that we have an obligation to add to our faith. Because if we don't, we are the other soils. We can't just have the faith. We've got to do something. And just having it is not enough. It has to abound. And so what that means is it has to increase and exist in abundance. Which he started off by saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. So it's going to just keep going back to the beginning. If these things be in you and abound, it takes us back to John 15, when he talks about that you're purged so that you can continue to bear more fruit. So if you don't get pruned and purged, you will not be in a position to bear more fruit. So these things have to happen. We already know that barren means not producing fruit, that you're habitually failing to produce, you're at leisure, you're lazy, you're shunning the labor that you ought to perform, you're inactive. In this word, it also says unemployed and useless. And then unfruitful says that you're not yielding what you ought to, or not yielding a valuable result. So we do not want that to be the result of the knowledge of the words of God that we have, or the knowledge of our Lord. We do not want our knowledge to not yield what it's supposed to, because we chose to not do the things that we ought to perform, or that things that we're not doing habitually. We're choosing to be inactive. We don't want that to be our portion. The other word is infertile, not able to produce, unable to support the growth of plants. So that's not something that God has made us to be. But if we allow ourselves to fall into that condition, it's not his fault. It's because we chose to be inactive, unemployed, and not fruitful. I'm just going to cap the last two and then I'll hand it to you. But he that lacks these things, which we already mentioned all those previous things in the previous verses, are blind. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if you lack these things, you're spiritually blind, which is sad. And you clearly must have forgotten that you've been purged from your previous sins, but you're not adding to it. So like you said, you know, we're going to be overtaken by the weeds or the thorns that we've allowed to stay there, right? So we didn't clean house the way that we should have, and we're going to be overtaken by that. Wherefore, again, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do them, you won't. Isn't that powerful that he says, if you do these things, it's never. People in our normal, natural day-to-day life will say, well, I don't like to say never because, you know, you never know when you say never, that it really is never. But in the Bible, if it says never,
fact.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So if you do these things, I promise you, I guarantee you, you will never fall. You will never fail if you do them. So we're falling and we're failing because we're not doing them. Or we're doing some and we're not doing all. Because he says, give diligence. He said it twice. He said it in verse 5 and he said it in verse 10. Be diligent to add to your faith and do all these X, Y, and Z things. And then he says, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you do these things, you shall never fall. So therefore, the good ground is going to reap the 30, the 60, the 100. We're going to bear fruit with patience. So what are your final thoughts about this?
Man, I'm taking so much notes right now. And you actually segued to my point, because I actually was going to talk about the diligence piece. So in verse 5, he says, giving all diligence. And then in verse 10, he says, even be more diligent. So what's he talking about in those two passages? I kind of wanted to, I guess, kind of give a David definition of what diligence is. Initially, I put effort. And then as we kept talking, I put fervent effort. Because if you tell somebody to be diligent, like, actually have to try to do something. Because usually, like, it almost seems like as though it's hard work. If you're telling me to be diligent about it, like, oh, please be diligent to be on time. Like,
yeah,
probably because you're struggling with being on time. If I use the word diligent,
exactly.
So I'm saying, like, give a little bit more effort to being on time.
Yes.
So we don't usually use that word. I don't want to say not in a positive sense, but we're using it almost as like an admonishing encouragement to like, hey, be diligent to do this. So when he says give all diligence to add all these things to your faith, like he's saying, give all of your fervent effort to add to your faith. Which is why he can make the statement at the end, you won't stumble, because you're giving your full effort to making sure that you're adding to your faith. So if he's saying at the beginning of this thing, like, give all diligence, and at the end he says, even be even more diligent, like, how can you be more diligent than all? So if he said, add all these things and, like, be all in, then at the end he says, And so even before saying be more diligent, he's, like you said, he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten he was cleansed from sin. So if you gave everything, it's hard for you to be blinded when you did all of that.
Yeah. Right?
Because you realized he was Lord and Savior, therefore you gave the effort in that situation. Then he says, therefore, be even more diligent. So beyond everything you just did to make your calling and election sure. So...
my goodness.
Apart from all of that, like, even more so, like, recognize what's at stake here is that your call, your soil, if you will, like, saying that you're in this particular soil is doing all of this, and then making sure that you look back to make sure that you did all of this, because your faith and your stance is on the line by you doing these things. So I think we definitely don't want to gloss over that, but I went even back one more verse. Is verse 4, where he says, having escaped the corruption.
Yes.
It takes a lot to escape from something. Like, if you're walking away from something, like, it, to have to escape means, like, you were in danger and you needed to get away. So understanding that that's where you came from, and he's saying, don't forget this. If you're not doing this, you didn't escape, which is why you need to be diligent to make your call and election sure, because if you escaped, that means that you needed to run away from that situation. And now it's going to take effort to stay away. Like, I mean, we got people in witness protection, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got people that, like, have left countries because of, you know, situations that have transpired in other countries. We left sin, you know what I'm saying? We escaped that. And if we don't do the next few passages, we ain't running away from sin. That, like, that's basically what he's saying, is like, you're not, you did not escape. Like, you're actually wanting to go back. So, that's why we can say, like, make your calling election sure, because if it was an escape, like, your testimony would be like, yeah, I was once in this, and now I'm, like, I was in this country, and they was shooting people, and, like, stealing kids, and you know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be your testimony, is what you were, and now who you are. If that's not your testimony today in faith, you didn't escape sin, because you're still, like, dilly-dallying, like, that's still half of your, that's your 25 acres, so you're confusing God. And us, you know what I'm saying? Because we don't know whether or not you're the old 25 that's trying to, like, figure out how to get the new 25 to overtake that 25, or you halfway in. So make your call and election sure by doing all these things and give all of your effort, which goes back to the commandment of love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Doing all of that means you actually now have obeyed the commandment because you gave your all, not half. I better shut up. We probably need to hang up and talk more off camera, but.
This is so good. And I'm just like, it's funny, but it's so serious at the same time. Like, you're saying it in such a hilarious fashion, but it's so real. Like, I really receive everything you're saying.
I'm just,
really
like, so passionate. Yeah. Because literally, like, and I kid you not, like, and we might have talked about, like, I want to do either a podcast series or a book on, like, the three letter words in the Bible, like all and but, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because, like, those words bring everything else into context. Like, we're focusing on, like, you know, and not to say that these words aren't great, but diligence, okay, give effort. But when you say all diligence, like, that changes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, okay, give your effort. Okay, I'm gonna give effort. Like, I'm gonna try. Give all your effort. Okay. Dang. All right. Because now you're in sin. We're not giving all of your effort. Because we talked about the, like, try-in situation. Like, I'm going to do it. Like, we talked about that, right? But when it says, like, you give all of your effort, that changes the whole dynamic. Because now we can check you. Like, did you give all your effort? Or did you stop short? Right? So, like, it really hits home when you can, like, take these little words and be like, are we truly giving God everything that we need to?
Yes.
And this is where it comes down to. So I love how we, like, we're in the middle of all of this. Again, passages that we've probably heard a bunch of times, but when you really break it down and give it that meat that it deserves, it's like, okay, now I got to check myself. So for us, again, it's a lesson, because I can say I'm diligent, but am I all diligent? I need to check that, right? So,
yeah. Wow. This was so awesome. Thank you so much for just everything. You're just amazing. You're always awesome.
You do it to me. My notepad was slim until you started talking.
I mean, I didn't even get through everything that I thought I was going to cover. So, I mean, I knew the Lord was going to take over, but I forewarned you. I was like, this is not going to be, you know.
Maybe we'll just change our podcast name to Jude, the Judes, because we had intended to come to you with this, but somehow she started talking and now we had to go this way.
Well, we hope that you guys really have enjoyed and have been blessed by this series. And it's going to be available for you to just go run it back as often as you need to. But please be fed. Please, you know, receive it however you need to apply it to your life. And we're just grateful for the opportunity to do this. So let us pray.
Yes.
Father God, we just thank you for all that you have done and spoken to us, in us, and through us, first and foremost, and then have allowed us to be able to share with others. And we thank you, Father, that like your word says, that all scripture is inspired by you, and it's useful to teach us what's true and to show us what's wrong in our lives. Your word corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do the right thing. And you use it to prepare and equip us to do every good work. And so, Father, we thank you that you have good plans for us. You have good intentions for us, Lord. And as always, we just want to come before you repentant for anything that we have heard or that pricked our hearts while we have gone through this, or as those that hear this, you know, we want to pray right along with them, Lord, that you would just deal with those areas of conviction that will arise, and that you would stir up in their hearts and our hearts, and that, Lord, that we would just be willing to align with your truth and align with your word, and to begin to follow the things that are good and true and in accordance to what you want us to do to please you. So we thank you, God, for the good seed that you sow within us faithfully on a regular basis. We thank you for the water of your word that you faithfully supply to us, Lord. And we thank you for how you tend us as your field, as your garden ultimately. But then we just pray that you would help us to tend the seed that you allow us to steward, the seed that is sown within us and among us, Lord. Help us to be good stewards and to be diligent and willing to be attentive and to be good caretakers of the seed, and that we would actually produce fruit that pleases you, Lord, however you see fit, 30, 60, or 100. We love you and we thank you so much, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Her Bro, His Sis. Catch your favorite siblings each month as we talk to you, our family in Christ. Want to chat or just stay in the know? Catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Her Bro Business.